So welcome to week three of our 10-week series, The Principles and Practices of Prosperity. Week three, we're going to look at vision. People always say it's important to have a vision, and my question is why? Why is it important to have a vision? Well, first, I think it's important to understand what a vision is, and that is a vision is an idea or a mental picture of what you'd like your future to look like, what it is you'd like to create, to feel, or to experience. You know, I learned a simple lesson about why it's important when I was taking some golf lessons a while back, and the instructor said, if you want to be successful in golf, the first thing you need to know is where you want to hit the ball. And that sounds kind of ridiculous and simple, but the truth is, if you want to be successful in life, you need to know where you want to go and what it is you want to do and what it is you want to achieve and what it is you want to be, what it is you want to have, the difference you want to make, the legacy you want to leave. And the thing about a vision, it also helps us in realizing what is important to me. You know, what are my priorities? What is it that I value the most? How do I want to invest my time and my energy and my creativity? You know, Yogi Berra once said something very profound. He said, if you don't know where you're going, you'll probably end up someplace else. And sometimes in our lives, we don't know where we're going. We aren't really clear about what it is that we want or what we want to achieve. Here's how powerful a vision is, and it's expressed in the book of Proverbs 29:18. And it says, where there is no vision, the people perish. But he that keepeth the law, happy is he. Where there is no vision, the people perish. And what it's saying is without a vision, without a direction, without some sense of purpose or meaning for our lives, we perish. And think about it. What exactly perishes if we don't have a vision, any direction? And I think what perishes is our energy, our motivation, our joy, our enthusiasm, our creativity, you know, our passion, our prosperity. When we don't have any idea what we want or where we're going, it shrivels, it perishes, it shrinks our level of joy and energy and creativity. You know, goals are great because I think they get us excited, they get us motivated, it gets the juices flowing, gives us something to look forward to. And the truth is, we are creators. We are created in the image and likeness of the Creator. We are here to create. And the fact is, we are actually all creating, always creating. And goals and how we use our thoughts and minds are really the ways we channel and direct that creative energy. And to me, goals are important because they help us not only create what we want, but it helps us to make a greater difference. It helps us fulfill our goals and dreams. It helps to really fulfill our divine purpose.
So how do you create or have goals without getting so attached to them?
Yep. That'll come a little later, yeah. But we will get there. It's a very good point, very good question. And so in week one, it was about our consciousness, realizing that prosperity is consciousness, life is consciousness, and the way we do it is by anchoring ourselves in the source and seeking God with all of our heart. Week two was about the law of circulation and giving and how giving triggers and moves that energy. So week one is about anchoring and aligning with that energy. Week two is about moving that energy. And then week three is about would you like your prosperous life to look like? What does prosperity look like for you? What would your ideal and best life look like? What is the vision and image of that? And so one of my favorite scriptures is from Job. It says, decide upon a thing, and it will be established for you, and the light will shine upon your paths. And so here is why I think having a vision is important, the things that it does. The first thing is I think it gives us a level of clarity. You know, I think sometimes most people aren't exactly clear about what they want. You know, anybody have a hard time deciding on what you'd like to do or should we do this or should we do that? Should we go here or go there? I mean, sometimes we're not even sure what we want to eat. You know, what do you want to eat? Oh, I don't know. I don't care. I'm the worst guy at a buffet. I mean, too many choices sometimes. We don't even know what it is that we want. And so, to me, one of the things about having a vision is it gives us a level of clarity. If you think that the law, it's a law, life of cause and effect, that is that if we're constantly putting out unsure, unclear, vague, ambiguous energy about what it is that we want in whatever form it is, what do you think we tend to get back? We get back vague, unclear, uncertain energy. And so it's important for us to have a vision, because I think it really creates a lot of clarity that we often don't have. Somebody once said, the world clears a path for those who are clear where they are going. And my question is, why is it that we have a hard time being clear about what it is that we want? And the first one for me is that our minds get distracted so easily. It's like we're on this, oh, then we're on to that, we're on to this, we're on to that. Anybody ever been busy all day but achieve nothing? And I think we do that because we get distracted from this, we go to this, we go to this, and go to that, and then the day's over. And we haven't really accomplished or done anything or even know what it is we wanted to do. The second reason it's hard to get clear sometimes is sometimes we're just overwhelmed by what's going on now. What's in front of us is so scary or challenging. It freaks us out. So we can't even see beyond it. When we're overwhelmed with stuff, it's hard to see beyond it to something greater or better. And the third reason is that sometimes we tend to focus on what we don't have and what we don't want. What isn't working, what's wrong, what's bad. And so clarity requires a greater level of mental focus and an ability to rise above what it is that is before us to see something even greater beyond. Here's one of my favorite scriptures, Genesis 13, verses 14 and 15. And this is God speaking to Abram. And he says, the Lord said to Abram after Lot departed from him, look around from where you stand, to the north and to the south, to the east and to the west, and all the land that you see, I will give to you and your offspring forever. And those aren't just words to Lot. They're words to every one of us. From where you stand right now in your life, how far can you see to the north in terms of your career? And to the south, how far can you see in terms of your relationship? And to the east, how far can you see towards your finances? You know, to the west, how far can you see with regard to your health? What is it that you want? If you could picture your life exactly the way you'd like it to be, what is it that you want to have? From where you stand now, what would you change? What would you do differently? What qualities would you like to embody more, and who would you like to become? You know, what do you see for yourself? And what does a prosperous life look like for you? You know, when Jesus said, ask and you shall receive, seek and you shall find, knock and the door will be opened unto you, there's a kind of underlying message there of that we should take some time and think about what we want to ask for. We should take some time and think where we want to knock and where we want to seek. Sometimes, you know, we have a society telling us what an ideal, perfect life looks like, and we, you know, just kind of follow and think that's what we want, instead of going a little deeper and saying, what is it that I really want? What is it that my heart wants? What is it that my soul wants? And so it's important for us to give some thought about what we want, to go a little deeper and get clear about what it is that we are really seeking and desiring in our life, because it's important to find clarity. You know, often we dissipate our energy instead of directing it. And when we're clear, we tend to be more efficient because we know what it is that we want, what it is that we're seeking, what it is that we want to create. Most of us are so busy living, so busy surviving, that we don't really take the time to actually sit down and think, what is it that I want? What is it that I'd like to create? What does my ideal and my best life look like? So we're going to do it now. And here's how we're going to do it. In your book, there are five categories. They are health, finances, career, or self-expression, relationships, and spiritual growth. And this is what we're going to do. We are going to focus on each one. I will tell you at one point to think for 15 seconds, then you'll think. And then after that, I'll say write. And what you're going to think about is what is your highest vision for that particular area of your life? You'll think for 15 seconds, and then what you'll do is write down what it is that comes to you in that area for your highest vision. Just for 30 seconds, 15 thinking, 30 writing, and we're going to go through all five. So let me get my stopwatch prepared. But first, what we're going to do is just take a deep breath for a second. I know that God, with God, all things are possible, that you live in a friendly universe that loves you, supports you, and wants the best for you. And so, knowing that all things are working for your favor and your best, and that all things are possible, in the area of your health, for 15 seconds, I want you to just think, no writing, just think about what your ideal vision with regard to your health. Think. And write. And stop. We'll finish up. And deep breath again. And expand your mind to the unlimited possibilities of good. Because they're all available just for you. And so now in the area of our finances, your highest vision and possibilities for yourself for 15 seconds, think. And write. And stop or finish up. And deep breath again. Expanding your heart to the unlimited possibilities of good. And so now, in the area of your career or self-expression, what is your highest vision in that area? For your career or self-expression, for 15 seconds, think. And for 30 seconds, write. And stop or finish up. Deep breath again, everyone. Knowing that we live in God's abundance, and God's abundance lives in us. Expanded to the fullness and the infinite possibilities for your life in the area of your relationships. What is your highest vision? What is your highest desire and goal? For 15 seconds, think. And write. And stop or finish up. And deep breath again. Expanding your heart, expanding your lungs, expanding your minds, expanding to the unlimited possibilities. And now finally, in the area of your spiritual growth or your spiritual connection, what is your highest vision for yourself, for your life in that area? And for 15 seconds, think. And write. And stop or finish up. And while you're writing, I want you to write three goals that you want to achieve before the end of this class or the end of this year. Okay. Keep writing if you need to keep writing. How many people feel a little clear about what you want after that exercise? Anybody feel a little bit clear? The thing I find interesting about that was less than 5 minutes. You only thought for 15 seconds. You only wrote for 30 seconds. You maybe took a deep breath. 5 minutes. And yet we don't even invest that in a year sometimes to get clear about what it is that we really want in the key and most important areas of our lives. And so what I'd like you to do this week is do this again for 5 minutes. And what I'd like you to do is build on and clarify what it is that you have and maybe add some things. Because there was a little bit of a rush and you still thought of what it is that you want. And so if you would work on it just for 5 minutes a day and get a little clearer about what your picture and what your vision is for your life, what a prosperous life looks like for you. So the first thing a vision does, it creates clarity. It focuses our mind and our energy on what we want to create, clarity. Second thing it does is it engages the power of the imagination. You know, Einstein once said that imagination is more powerful than knowledge. Think about that. Imagination is more powerful than knowledge. And why did he say that? Because knowledge, as much as the knowledge there is, and there's a lot of knowledge, it is limited. But imagination is unlimited. Knowledge represents what is. Imagination represents all the things that could be and will be, and that is absolutely unlimited. And so everything that's visible came from the invisible, that there, somebody used their imagination to bring forth even the design for the chair you're sitting on, for electricity. Everything came out of someone's imagination. And so how powerful is the imagination? A University of Chicago did an interesting study many years ago, and they had three groups, you know, free throws, shooting free throws, baskets from, you know, I think it's like 10 feet. And so they took a baseline of these three groups, and they all shot a certain amount, and they recorded them. First group was encouraged to practice every day. The second group was encouraged to not practice or touch a ball at all for the week. And the third group was encouraged to not touch a basketball, but to visualize themselves shooting and hitting every shot. So the next week, they came back and retested, and the first group that practiced improved by 24%. That's pretty good. They practice every day. The second group that didn't practice did not improve at all. No surprise. The third group that visualized and did not touch a basketball or practice in any way improved by 23%. The group that just imagined shooting got as good a result, almost exactly the same results, as a group that actually practiced. That is how powerful your imagination is. Let's do it now. Pick one of those three goals that you just wrote down. Close your eyes. And I want you to imagine yourself having it, achieving it, being it. See the picture of yourself as clearly as you can, of you accomplishing, enjoying that thing as if it were right now. Feel the feelings. Notice what you're wearing. What are the surroundings? Who might be with you? Whatever that picture is, create the picture of exactly what you would like in your mind's eye. Visualize it. See it. Just notice it in every way. How you're feeling, what you're wearing, how you're looking. Deep breath. And remember that feeling of prosperity that you have, that you practice? Go to it now. Feel that feeling as you are seeing the picture and imagining yourself having, being that thing right at this moment. One more deep breath. And so we just give thanks. And so it is. Amen. So what I'd like you to do is just for a couple of minutes, use your imagination and see a picture of any of the things that you want or you desire. I would focus on the first three or those three that you wrote, but you could do as much or as many as you would like. Another thing that people like to do in terms of imagination is doing a vision board. Anybody ever do a vision board? I think we've all done them. They're fabulous. They get you engaged, get you excited, get you to create a picture of what it is you'd like to do, whether it's, you know, traveling or getting healthier. So if you feel like doing one of those, do those. But do this one in your own imagination, in your own mind's eye, and practice what you desire. Vision creates clarity. It engages the imagination. And the next one, it can engage and utilize the power of the mind and the power of our thoughts. You know, Earl Nightingale had a thing called The Strangest Secret, and The Strangest Secret was you become what you think about all day, that you literally become what you think about. The thoughts you hold literally create and reproduce. What are some of the words are what the mind can conceive and believe it will achieve? And so what we want to do here is I really believe that, again, life is consciousness, so it's important to become what you want to be in consciousness. Like for me, I would think is like, if you want to be a great leader, how does a great leader think? What does a great leader say? What does a great leader feel? You know, if you want to be in a loving relationship, how does a person speak it like that? And what do they feel? How do they act? So it's about engaging the power of your mind to think at that level of success, that level of happiness, that level of fulfillment. You know what's interesting is that kids of doctors and kids of athletes tend to have a natural path to be successful and to move in that direction. And you know why? Because they already understand the mindset. They understand what it takes. It understands the consciousness of being that. And not that anybody can't, but one of the reasons is because they've already been around. They know what that lifestyle like. They know what that thinking and energy takes. You know, you become what you think about all day long. So if we think that we're a victim all day long, guess what we're going to manifest? If we think that we are prosperous all day long, or if we think we're poor all day long, or we think someone's going to take advantage of us all and the world's against me all day long, it's what do we think about all day long? And it's important to start driving our minds to think towards the mindset of what it is we want to achieve. To think and speak the words of success and prosperity and joy and fulfillment. You know, how does a great author speak? You know, how does someone, you know, who has a grounded connection with God, how do they show up and speak? I mean, it's using your mind to think in alignment with the consciousness of the thoughts of what it is you want to achieve. You think it's a coincidence that there are people who, when they win the lottery, that they tend to lose all the money. You know why? Because their consciousness cannot support that level of abundance or responsibility or thinking of how someone successful does. And someone with a prosperity consciousness, even when they go bankrupt, they got all they need in here because they think success. They think that this will work out. They know they'll come up with ideas that'll help lift them, because it's all what happens in here. It is our level of consciousness. So it is using our thoughts, using our affirmations, putting ourselves in that position right now and say, what would I think like? Who would I hang out with? How would I feel? How would I dress? How would I show up, you know, in this new consciousness and life that I want to create? And so it can add that as a part of your imagination, but you can also add it as a part of the affirmations and just speak the things that you want to achieve and attract and become. All right. The next one that's important that helps us with our vision is that it engages the power of our feelings. Here's a line or a scripture that kind of gets overlooked, and it, you know, we've probably all heard, as a man thinketh, so is he. Have we heard that? We've all heard that, right? As a man thinketh, so is he. That's not what it says. As a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. As a man thinketh in his heart, that it is a thought plus the feeling, so is he. I call it the creation equation. It's a thought plus the feeling or the emotion creates the outcome. As a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. Let me give you another one. Whatever you ask in prayer, believe that you've received it and it will be yours. So it's not just asking. It's believing it to the point you can feel that it's yours, that you accept it, that you receive it, and it will be yours. Thought plus the feeling of believing equals the outcome. And it happens in both directions. Let me give you one. That the thing that I have feared has come upon me. Remember that? And so the thing, the thought, that I feared, the feeling, has come upon me, the outcome. Anybody ever afraid you were going to lose something, or afraid you were going to get your heart broken, and it just happened exactly that way? I remember when I was a kid and I didn't do my homework, and the next day the teacher said, can someone just summarize that paragraph? And all these little keener kids, ooh, pick me. And I'm like, oh God, please don't let her pick me. Don't let her pick me, please. No, don't pick me. And what'd she do? She picked me. Richard. Why? Because the thing that I feared had come upon me. We sometimes don't. And I think we don't realize that that isn't just thinking. It's the energy and the emotion we put behind it that really, really attracts and creates the things that we experience in our lives. And so what I'd like you to do is, again, go back to those three goals. And what I'd like you to do is write down, how does it make you feel? How do you want to feel with those? So you want the thing, but what's the feeling that will be the result for you of achieving those? And write down two or three feelings. So if you want to increase your income, how are you going to feel about that goal? What's the, you know, there's the thought, want to increase my income. Well, what's the feeling? Want to finish your degree, that's a thing. What's the feeling? Keep writing if you need to keep writing. So here's a theory that I have, is that that anything we think we want, it's not the thing that we want. It's the feeling it'll give us. So when we say we want a relationship, we're really looking to feel a sense of love or companionship or connection. You know, when we say we want to increase our income, it's really to feel more prosperous or feel more empowered or whatever it is. And so the reason sometimes we get stuck, you know, when we think, oh, I want this, and then I get it and I'm not happy, is because sometimes we need to get clear about what is it, the feeling that I really want. That sometimes I think it's better to start with the feeling and then go for it. Because we think, oh, it's that job that's going to do it for me, that person that's going to do it for me. But the truth is, if you get clear about what the feeling is, then you let the form of how the job or the whatever it is come that'll fulfill what it is you really want, which is to feel more joy or to feel more connection or feel more empowered, more successful. Does that make sense, everyone? So be aware of the power of feelings. They're very, very powerful. The ones that we create, but also that we should be conscious about what the ones that we want to attract. And that's why I have you practice feeling prosperous, because your feelings actually create a lot of what happens to us in our lives. We always think it's thinking and only thinking, but it's actually both. There is power in how we feel, whether it's fear or gratitude, which I believe is one of the highest vibration energies of being grateful. And so just utilize this and think about, what is it that I want? What do I really want to feel? And use the power of your feeling. We'll repeat feeling stuff throughout this, because I just believe it makes such a difference. It makes such a difference. So vision, be clear and write it down. To picture it, visualize it, use your imagination, see the details. Focus your mind on it, think about it, and then feel what you want. And sometimes just feel good energy. Even if you can't get specific about what it is, I'm sure it's at least you want to feel good. And the greatest feeling you could add on, if you're not quite sure, feel grateful. Feel grateful. Feel joyful, feel grateful, feel positive about it. Because sometimes some people, I'm not quite sure, but I guarantee it'll be a good feeling. And if you put good energy like gratitude, it'll make a difference. So with a vision, you got to know it, see it, think it, feel it. Again, where there is no vision, the people perish. But where there is, they prosper. Because when there's a vision, there's clarity about how you want to channel your creative energies, and the universe begins to support you in bringing that forth in amazing and wonderful ways. Anybody have any questions? Scott, I didn't forget your question, because we have a whole class devoted to it, because attachment is a huge thing that causes resistance and repels the good we want. So we have a whole class on it. Brianna? Right. Right. Yeah. Do what some people just have natural inclinations for one thing more than the other. Like I tend to be pretty visual. Some people, and I tend to be pretty feeling, you know, and some people tend to be good with thinking. So find which one you resonate the most with and go there with that one. You know, because I always think whenever we pray and we want some guidance, for some people they get a gut feeling, for some people they see a picture, for some people, you know, they hear somebody say something and it confirms what they want. There are all kinds of different channels and we're not all the same. So when I say a vision, it could be just even a written down thing, you know, and then connect with a feeling or something. Yeah. So just because you aren't a picture, a visual person doesn't mean that you don't have a vision. It's, because they're all kind. Because that's why I'm talking about feelings, talking about thoughts, talking about imagination. Because there are all kinds of different ways. You just need to know you well enough and go more in the area that you feel. And don't worry about the other way. You can try a little bit of visual stuff, but if it's not in your wheelhouse and what really connects with you, I wouldn't worry about it too much. Okay. You know, I think sometimes it's good to just redo it and see what new pictures might come that might stimulate your mind. So I probably would do a new one. And you don't have to change your goals, but sometimes the picture and the image might hit you in a different way. Or, you know, it just might be a way to kind of move some of that energy around and kind of renew it. Cool. Anybody? Jen? Because I wanted to show you how little time it takes, even though we take no time, that it doesn't take much time at all. So we get so busy and you know, trying to survive and focus on what that it doesn't take much time to get clear about what you want. So that's why. And plus, I want to see, you know, put a little pressure. A little pressure is a good thing. You know, and then you realize when you've got it under the gun, it's that quick. You realize when you have more time, you actually, you know, can put more thought, more time. So I don't want you timing yourself during the week. It was just a little way to start the party and get the ball rolling. So I want you to put more thought and some meditation and really kind of real connect about, is this what I really want? You know, I think it was Carl Jung. He once said that those who look without themselves for their vision only dream. But those who look within for their vision awaken. And it's a really, really beautiful line. So for whatever you want, it's okay to use your head about what you want. But sometimes go a little deeper in saying, is this what my soul really wants? Is this what my spirit is calling me to? And then that'll give you some more clarity. Because there are a lot of things we could have. We could have a lot. But the question is, what is it, the thing that feeds my soul? What is the thing that is the best for my life and fulfillment? Linda? Right. So here's how I do it. So let's get into this a little bit more. So it's kind of, but what it is also is we are meant to create. We are given direction like ask and seek and knock. We actually have a responsibility to bring forth and to create and express more good that isn't here. And we can't get overly attached or anxious about it. Because I used to get freaked out about some scriptures, and it would say, ask and ye shall receive, seek and ye shall find, knock and the door will be opened unto you, decide upon a thing and it'll be established for you. It's like, and then I'd be like, thy will be done. The Father knows what you need before you ask. And it's like, what? Ask, knock, thy will, what's up? Which one? One better than the other? And then what I realize, they're both important. That we are meant to be creators. We have a responsibility to bring forth the greater things, the gifts that are inside us, and we need to let it go and not be too anxious about it. So it's actually both. It's to seek what it is in you and then trust and let it go that it'll come in a form that will be for your highest and best. And that's why sometimes just saying, you know, I want this, blah, 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 but whatever is for my highest and best. Unity gave me the greatest line I ever had, and that is, God, this or something better. Because when we get overly focused on the thing, it has to be that thing, and it needs to be read and arrive on Tuesday before 5, you know, we get really, really anxious about that. It creates resistance in us. And so to say, this is the thing that I desire, you know, and I always say, hold it lightly, not tightly. But you got to hold a vision. You got to hold some idea of good. And so it is an interesting balancing act because human beings like control. We like to make it happen. Sometimes we'll force and struggle. But that whole idea of seek ye first and all these things will be added is about don't struggle with it. Just ground yourself in spirit and it'll flow and it'll come to you in easier ways. Because I guarantee you, if you chase it and struggle, you push it away further. And the ride is not as joyful. Even if you get it. And so it's a tough thing for us human beings being creators, but then letting go, you know, any kind of letting go is the hardest thing, which is, by the way, what we're going to be doing for the next 2 weeks.